Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young hanging out with you today. Mark should be back very soon. So thanks for letting me hang out with you, and glad you're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. One of the things that's been a big news this week, or one of the big items in the news, I should say, has been the CBS settlement with President Trump. So I wanted to get the details, so I reached out to Nick Fondacaro. You know Nick. He is the Newsbusters Associate Editor. Nick, thanks for joining us here in St. Louis today.
Thanks for having me on to hang out with you, Brad.
So tell me a little bit about the terms of the settlement. Generally speaking, in my law practice during the day, I know that that suing someone like the media or suing for defamation from the media is oftentimes legally challenging and difficult, yet President Trump has prevailed here. Tell us what the settlement terms are.
So basically, it's about $16 million up front with a possibility of it reaching upwards of $30 million after including money spent on advertisement, public service announcements, and some other support for conservative causes from the network in the future. But it's $16 million up front. I believe some of it goes to cover his President Trump's legal fees, and then the rest of it goes to the presidential library.
Right. So President Trump himself isn't really going to pocket a penny from the settlement.
None at all.
And one of the terms that I thought was very interesting, Nick, and I'd like your opinion on it and to see how things go forward. But obviously, when we deal with the mainstream media, they're biased. They want to take every slant and angle against conservatives or Republicans or Christians that they possibly can. And yet, I believe that Paramount agreed that in all future interviews with eligible U.S. presidential candidates, that 60 Minutes will release the full transcript, the full unedited transcript of those interviews.
Exactly. That is one of the big terms of this agreement here. And it's worth noting that this whole case could have been avoided if CBS would have just released the full unedited transcript from the beginning, but they refused to do it, their interview with Kamala Harris. And people need to question why they held on that this long, and they took it all the way until someone in the government to force them to bring out the full unedited transcript. First, that got released online, and then CBS had to come do it themselves. And people have to ask themselves why. And it's
yes,
because CBS wants to defend the Democratic ticket by making them look good.
Yeah, isn't that interesting that they literally had to pay $16 million, maybe as high as $30 million, depending on what other expenses might be coming into the settlement terms, but had to pay all this money, and they did so just to protect and to not release the transcript of Vice President Word Salad, and they took this position when they could have just released it to begin with.
Exactly, this whole thing could have been avoided, and now what you're seeing is a lot of words coming out from anonymous sources from inside CBS, from their journals, who
yes,
are very upset that they caved in this way, and now they have to make this change. But it's like, why are they upset? Because they want to be able to run defense for the Democrats, and now this is going to be able to expose them for when they do cut out certain rambling moments, or if a candidate sort of gets off message and they kind of want to stitch it up for them a little bit.
Yeah, there's been a lot of staffers who have been vocal, sometimes anonymous, sometimes not so anonymous, mm-hmm, but the staffers have been very vocal in opposition to this settlement, haven't they?
Exactly. And a lot of it goes because they don't want any of the people to see what goes on behind the scenes. They don't want to see the sausage get made. And that's why you saw this case get settled and a lot of other cases get settled before even discovery happens. Because as we saw with the CNN defamation suit, that the trial that just wrapped up earlier this year, where CNN lost, and MSNBC settlement back in April, that we get a peek behind the scenes to see their internal messages via discovery. And that's when it gets exposed, how their coverage is driven by their personal
yes,
animosities and affinities towards their political narratives and who they are talking about in the news.
Yeah, we had, I don't know if you recall, but St. Louis sued the Rams and the NFL several years ago, and that case settled for $750 million, on the eve of trial, right before trial started. But really what forced the settlement was that the NFL owners didn't want to have their internal emails and text messages released for open public consumption at trial. And I thought the same thing was probably applying here, that if this case went to trial, you would see emails showing just how vitriolic and biased all of these CBS staffers are, all of these 60 Minute staffers, and all of that would have been laid bare had this case proceeded to trial.
Yeah, I believe the CBS case didn't even make it to discovery, because if you get information discovery, there are chances that it could leak. There could be a problem with the clerk system where inadvertently information gets released. That's how I got some of the information from the CBS defamation trial, is because the clerk's office had a little bit of a hiccup when they were putting up documents and stuff wasn't redacted properly. And we were able to get some of CNN's internal messages out there and some deposition testimony where a CNN employee admitted that when they reported about Zachary Young, the guy they defamed, they said they didn't actually have any proof that he committed any sort of crime.
Oh, yeah. Getting a peek under the skirt of the mainstream media really reveals the bias that so much of conservatives we know, but so much of mainstream America seems to not understand. But here's the question I want to go to next. We're talking to Nick Fondacaro. He's the Newsbusters Associate Editor. And Nick, back in 1964, there was this landmark Supreme Court case called New York Times versus Sullivan. You know the case. And in New York Times versus Sullivan, it really shaped the legal landscape for lawsuits dealing with defamation when it comes to public officials. And it showed legally what had to be proved, which in this case was an actual malice standard, meaning that the statements were literally made with the knowledge that these statements were false. I'm only giving that as an explanation, Nick, to say this. As groundbreaking as the New York Times versus Sullivan was on the legal landscape, do you see not just the 60 Minutes settlement, but the MSNBC settlement and the other settlements that are probably going to happen in the near future? Do you see these as reshaping the landscape moving forward when it comes to the way the mainstream media wants to slant the news against President Trump?
Oh, absolutely, because I have a feeling that the previous ABC defamation suit had maybe something to do with the Terry Moran situation with him getting fired.
Yes.
Because if those messages are what he was willing to say out loud in public, his posts on X, imagine what he's saying in private messages. Oh. And then those can absolutely come into case of actual malice and be able to be there. So that's why they fired him, so he's not a liability for them. And hopefully what we're starting to see is that these executives are going to be putting more of a scrutiny on their newsrooms to be like, you guys are not being objective. You guys are not being dispassionate. You are very passionate, and you're just going to say these things, and you're going to get us in a lot of trouble. You're going to cost us a lot of money. And that's what we're seeing with a lot of these cases that are coming up, is not even these networks saying things about public officials. Like the CNN case, this was a private individual, a Navy veteran, who was trying to help people get out of Afghanistan. And in the MSNBC case, it was just a doctor who had some contracts with immigration officials, and that they were running around claiming that he was the uterus collector, essentially defaming him. And that case got settled before it went to trial. But this is all of these things that we're seeing now, and it's private individuals who are really stepping up to hold these places accountable. We saw this a few years ago with Nick Sandman, and then Kyle Rittenhouse has said that he's interested in going after some people. I'm not too sure he's pushed anything yet, but we also have Zachary Young. I got out of a defamation hearing case today. He's going after the AP, Puck News, U.S. News and World Report for other sort of fallout reporting about the CNN defamation case, where they were a little bit loose, allegedly, with some of the facts of his case, and sort of smearing the trial a little bit. So
We're talking to Nick Fondacaro. He's with Newsbusters. He's an associate editor there. And Nick, I'm going to ask you to speculate on something. We didn't really talk about this ahead of time, but whenever I see this pattern of conduct where mainstream media, news editors, and producers reveal their vitriolic bias in emails and text messages, and then that becomes litigation fodder to show actual malice. Do you think that some of these media types, the producers and executives at the networks, do you think they might be inclined to want to start using Snapchat or WhatsApp or Signal or Wickr or any of these apps that allow messages to be either encrypted or destroyed just to keep, because we know they're always going to be vitriolic against conservatives and Christians and Republicans. But do you think they might start wanting to use these more secretive apps in order to make sure that their email messages don't become litigation fodder?
They already do. Signal is a very big app used by journalists to speak with sources. WhatsApp as well. These are very common apps that are used in media to speak with sources. I believe the ones that were being used in the CNN one in particular, I believe was their internal Slack message system, which that's more of a workflow sort of place where you have different teams sort of talking to each other. I'm not too sure if they have the ability to delete stuff. They probably do. But for the most part, it might come out if they start doing those things that, hey, this it might get leaked. It'd be like, oh, hey, why don't you want people to ever see what it is you're saying? And it definitely becomes, when you do see these messages, they are extremely revealing and expose their hatred. Like with the CNN case, you had editors egging on Marquardt saying, go get him, cowboy, and saying to him, like, oh, Mr. Young has a punchable face and all of this stuff where in their private messages, they show the actual and expressed malice. Mm.
Wow. Well, I if that happens, I will find this fascinating because of the way the news media beat up Pete Hegseth for using Signal app. I would be thrilled to point out the hypocrisy if they start using similar types of apps. Nick Fondacaro, Newsbusters associate editor. Where can folks find you online if they want to follow what you and Newsbusters writes about?
They can follow us at newsbusters.org.
Very good, Nick. Thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Great to talk to you, sir. Hey, when we come back from this break, I did some research today, and I looked into some of the quotes from the new mayoral candidate in New York, Zohran Mamdani, and I found some interesting quotes because, to me, this is staggeringly concerning that the largest city in the country, the financial center of the planet, is perhaps on the precipice of electing a socialist to be the next mayor. We'll cover that next. Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon. Stick around. We'll be back on 97.1 FM Talk.